when we have that initial conversation, and I kind of trickle it in, is that although we are planning for quarterly distributions, don't bank your livelihood off of those quarterly distributions. Those are like the icing on the cake. You know, just do whatever you want. Some investors are like, can I just put it back in the deal? I'm like, I wish you could, but we can't do that. Not this particular deal. But that is one, although I wasn't in the ground up space as we speak about investors, that's one way that my investors were already slightly primed for that concept of, well, really, it's not going to make that much of a difference because I wasn't basing my livelihood off of this distribution to begin with.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Julie Holly is the founder of Three Keys Investment. She helps people like you find their freedom through multifamily real estate investing. Julie, welcome to the show.
I am so thrilled to be here, Sam. Looking forward to it for days.
Oh, good. Well, I mean, I felt like I scared you or something there with your intro. You gave me that look of like, oh my gosh, what's this guy doing in the microphone?
Did I really? Yeah. That's funny that a podcast would have that kind of response.
Well, this is going live, audio and video. So you'll get this on YouTube. But alas, I digress. We've got three questions I ask every guest who comes on the show.
That's right.
In 90 seconds or less, can you tell me where did you start? Where are you now? And how'd you get there?
I started in single family housing. I found multifamily housing, and now I'm currently involved as a LP and a GP and digging into ground up development. How's that?
How about that? I love that. I love the play on words there. Digging into ground up development. Tell me that journey. What has been the progression? Maybe not necessarily why, because we've heard that a lot on this show. I mean, why do people go from single family to multi? We get that all the time. I'm sure you get it as well on your show. But tell me your journey and tell me what things you've learned.
You know, the painful part of the journey has been being patient. So I think that transition, as many have made that transition from single to multi, so we're not going to belabor that point. But I'm going to get all teary-eyed because it's demanded not just growth in knowledge and understanding, because I spoke residential really well, but I had to change as a person. My thinking had to expand, and it had to expand beyond the vocabulary of the multifamily space. I had to embrace the concept of collaboration and teamwork. I had to learn to flex that word no in order to say yes. And I think those were the most painful growth avenues that I experienced through the process of that transition.
When you flex your no muscle, what'd you say? Flex the word no? How
right. Know? Well, you know, I was very blessed to be invited to a lot of opportunities. And I was really, like every new multifamily investor, really excited. Like, yes, I want to jump into this deal. Like, don't we all just want to get our deal done?
Right.
Because the law of the first deal, like, let me just get it done and start my success parade. Right. And really, I started reviewing the deals and it was like, okay, well, you know, this doesn't align with my principles and values, and all the best to you. And that, you know, always all the best to other people, because I might not see something that they do, or I might not have the courage that they have, whatever. That doesn't matter. But being able to evaluate things and evaluate teams and say, these are great people, but is this the best alignment for me? And so saying no to those opportunities was really painful. And yet where I'm at now, I high five myself left and right, because I know that those would have been some painful situations.
Were there some telltale signs that said, hey, this is, and again, not that the people you were looking to work with were bad people or they were doing bad deals, but maybe just not a fit for you? Were there telltale signs that were like, hey, this is something somebody else can look out for?
You know, it's easier to discuss that, right? When it comes to the underwriting, Sam, it's so much easier, right? Because we all have our concept of what quote unquote conservative is, right? And so, you know, when it comes to that, it's easy to just say, well, these assumptions don't really align with how I underwrite. And so have fun. No big deal. When it comes to the people, especially being a people person, I love, love, love people so much. It becomes a different scenario. And I had to learn to do exactly what you said. You said, they're not bad people, but this relationship. And that means understanding, you know, psychology and human relationships and saying, how are these dynamics going to play off of each other? How, when, not if, when a challenge arises, because it will every single time, when a challenge arises, how are each of us going to show up in a way that is going to lead to a really effective solution so that we can serve our investors and residents well? So that just comes through conversation. And that's one reason why I really believe in knowing who you are partnering with, not just a fly by night, like, oh, we just met at the conference last weekend. Yes, we're going to collaborate. You know, we're going to partner. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I mean, and you know, that too can happen, by the way.
Yes, it can happen. I'm not saying that it cannot happen. You know, for me personally, I'm like, I feel like I need to have a little more track laid before I do that. But I have seen successful partnerships. You just look at Good Egg Investments, boom, BEC, 4 years ago, they partnered up.
Right. Oh, for sure. Yeah, it can happen. Was there any gut check or anything that was an intangible that you're just like, eh, this is not for me?
100,000,000%. Yeah. And, but you have to learn how to vet your gut, right?
Just find that.
Right. So we have like vet the deal, vet, you know, the partners, you know, or vet the sponsors. And now we have like vet your partners by the gut check, you know, but it's really true. And a lot of times we dismiss those little red flags, those little microcosms that pop up. We're like, you have to understand yourself in order to do that. So I've worked with a high performance coach for 2 years, and that's been very helpful for me, because the more you understand yourself, you can understand how are you going to show up and how are you going to be able to receive what other people are saying. So it's really a matter of, for me, conversation. And I love meeting people face to face, read their energy.
Right. Yeah, that's for sure. I love that. Yeah. The painful part of that growth, I think going back to what you said, is being patient. But I think a lot of that is also like a slingshot. You know, if you're patient when you pull back, by the time you let go, it's going somewhere and fast. So, you know, don't be in a hurry to get out of the gate too soon. So tell me, you guys have a deal closing, or by the time this episode goes live, you will have a deal that has closed. Is this your guys' first deal? Is this your fifth deal? Where are you in this journey?
Yeah, well, by the time that closes, that will be deal number 4. So I'm actually closing any day now on deal number 3, which is 120 units Class B in Des Moines, and super excited about that. Love the partnership there and fantastic team. And then the part, what will be closing when this goes live, is we'll be closed on our construction loan for ground up development in Winston-Salem.
Awesome. I want to hear more about that, but talk to me about scaling. You know, it's every deal you've done with the same team, or does this team change?
Wow, that's a really great question. And part of me is like, wow, people are going to think crazy things, but it's normal, right? So I actually have partnered every single opportunity will have been with somebody different. And I love that as a podcaster and as someone who has a very nice network within our community, I know so many extraordinary sponsors, and we all need deal flow, particularly those of us who work to serve investors specifically by placing their capital. And so that just gives me, by having those relationships, I'm always nurturing, you know, and understanding like, who should I be partnering with? I have a place for my investors' capital.
Right. Yeah. And that's exactly it. Because, and again, I say this way too often on this show, forgive me. There's two things that go around and that make the business go around. There's deals and money. And
deals and money.
Yeah. And if you're not finding deals, then you're not going to find the money. And if you run out of deals for too long, by the time you have a deal, the money will be gone.
Absolutely. You want that money working. So much so that there was one point where I didn't have anything on the horizon, and I had a couple of investors that really needed to deploy capital. So that's the check also, is what do you do? Who are you looking out for, yourself or your investor? So I referred them to like a couple of sponsors that I knew had quality deals to offer. Painful moment. I'll imagine everyone's like, please feel my pain with me. Okay, guys listening. it was painful, but I also knew it was what I believe is the right thing to do for my investors.
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely cool. Tell us about the ground up deal. I mean, that's a very different underwriting. That's a very different potential investor to bring onto the deal. So kind of walk us through that, because there's just some nuance to that that's not for every either sponsor or investor.
That's true. And when I joined that partnership, I was actually, you know, very transparent and said, I have not solicited ground up development to my investor list at this point. So right. this is going right. to be something new for them. And we all know that some investors want all of that. They want that distribution, that quarterly or monthly distribution that they're receiving, and to have that, you know, potential of 2 years of we're not seeing anything is a big deal. But here's how I navigated that, Sam. I actually always tell my investors when we have that initial conversation, and I kind of trickle it in, is that, you know, although we are planning for quarterly distributions, don't bank your livelihood off of those quarterly distributions. Those are like the icing on the cake. You know, just do whatever you want. Some investors are like, can I just put it back in the deal? I'm like, I wish you could, but we can't do that. You know, not this particular deal, but you know, that is one, although I wasn't in the ground up space as we speak about investors, that's one way that my investors were already slightly primed for that concept of, well, really, it's not going to make that much of a difference because I wasn't basing my livelihood off of this distribution to begin with. And that tailwind that everyone gains at the end of ground up development is so significant. The equity multiple is so significant that it can be very enticing to investors to say, wow, you know, I'm far more than doubling my money. This is going to be very worthwhile for me.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. How did you vet that deal and opportunity? I mean, somebody brings you a piece of land and says, hey, you guys should build an apartment complex here. I mean, how did that process work?
Right. Well, in addition to, you know, looking at the underwriting, and the underwriting I was confident in. However, what I was really concerned about, as I'm sure the listeners will have the same concern, is what about the red tape at all the different government levels? What about the supply chain issue? What are we going to do as supplies increase in price over the duration of this build process? So the underwriting was solid in and of itself. And the process of entitling the land and getting going on the ground up development, the track was very well laid. So for me, it was more like, who is our developer? What is our track record? Again, it's going down to that partnership. If the numbers already make sense and the numbers check out, now we got to know who are we working with and what are they bringing to the table that is going to ensure to the investors and the team that this can be fully executed.
Right. How did you guys select a developer?
Yeah, well, this is actually a really cool story. So our partner was driving home, and everyone does this. So as you're listening to this, like, make sure that every time you're driving everywhere that your eyes are like looking around. Train your kids in the car to look for sale signs also. He's driving home, and you know, he's taking the off-ramp, and there buried in the trees is this teeny tiny for sale sign. I mean, he's driven past this a million times already, probably. Calls the number on that. And he has actually done development with our developer already in that community. So it's not like, this is the first time working with this developer.
Right.
So they walk the land. I'm giving you the long story, so feel free to interrupt at any point. They actually, you know, he calls the developer, they go, they look at the land, they walk it. The developer hops on the phone with, you know, planning and zoning, people he already has relationships with. And it's a matter of, hey, can you check what the zoning is out here? And okay, can we change that? And they just said, hey, we'll get back to you in a couple of weeks and let you know. A couple of weeks is a long time, but guess what? They got back to him in like 5-10 minutes later, phone rings, which is also speaks to the caliber of that relationship at P&Z. And they're like, we can work with you on this. And so we just simply went down that process when we were at the city council meeting. And fortunately, it's a Zoom call because I am on the opposite coast, on the Canadian border, even like opposite coast and opposite, you know, north, south. So I was able to be on that Zoom call when P&Z, you know, unanimously voted in favor of our zoning change. And so lots of, and that's current. We still have some, you know, things to move forward, but, you know, it's very favorable. And so selecting that developer was just a matter of looking at, okay, well, my partner's already done business with him. They've already had this experience. They already have a relationship and it's been extremely successful for them. That really made it easy.
That sounds like, I mean, a lot of what you have done to grow is simply scale other people's expertise and knowledge in the space. Is that a fair summary?
Golly, isn't it? It totally is. And isn't that, so it seems like a cheat or a hack, doesn't it?
I mean,
on one hand,
it's not cheating, it's not hacking, it's doing what it takes.
Exactly. And it's good partnership, right? If every single person is constantly bringing their very best to the table, then we have rock star teams. Right. Every single time, everybody wins. And I love everyone who hears me anywhere knows I am all about everybody winning.
I love that. That's great. Julie, I've enjoyed hearing your story. I've loved watching your progress. I know I met you maybe a year and a half ago, and it's fun just to see where you've come in that time frame. So thanks for coming on today and really just sharing, you know, kind of the secrets to what it is that you've done and how you have grown your business and where you guys are going. You're getting into some really fun stuff. And I just look forward to seeing what the next year and a half holds for you. Let's wrap this up with the final few questions. The first one is this: what is one mistake you can help our listeners avoid and how would you avoid it?
Invest in what you know. And if you don't know about it, invest with people who do know, who can guide you.
Right.
I learned that the hard way.
That's great advice. Next question: when it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
Oh, I'm building new apartment complexes. That is making the world a better place. There is a housing shortage. And while our homeless population needs to be served and cared for, all of the other residents, it's CBA, everybody needs a place to live.
Yep, absolutely. Julie, if our listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
I head over to the back door of my website, juliehawley.com. So head over to juliehawley.com and you can see the investment side of me. You can see the podcast and you can join the book club.
Awesome. Julie, thank you so much for your time. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Sam. It's been awesome.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.